Father, we worship you, glorify you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the saints of God that are present and those that are watching that are present. Lord, we thank you for all of everything that you've provided, and it's real, it's truth. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you greet each other tonight and say, give each other a great big hug and glory be to God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to have all of you that are watching tonight. Bless you. We are excited about you being here with us. Still mingling. If you have an offering tonight, I should have mentioned it earlier. But thank you all for those that send their offerings and blessings. We appreciate it. We wish you were here, but if you have something to give, you can bring it now while we're greeting each other. Amen. Well, we love all of you so much. We appreciate all of you so much. Thank you for your giving. And all of you that are watching, praise the Lord. Just a few announcements. No service Sunday night. Monday is a holiday. So we're going to give you that time to use for your family. Some people may be going away, this, that, and the other. Hallelujah. Someone said, boy, that was kind of a short worship. It may have been, but we've got some really good stuff to go into for the Word here tonight, and he just said, let's go into that. It's already been taken care of, Otto. Yep, thanks. So we're going to go into the Word. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Praise God. So, Father, we just bless you. We love you so much. Abba, I thank you for the great grace that is on our life for change and the purposes that you're bringing us to. Lord, thank you for the prospect of an outpouring. Thank you for the prospect of a revival. We give you all the praise and glory. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, help us in this hour. We receive grace from your presence in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We will be honoring our graduates Sunday. As far as I know, there's only a couple. There's one that graduated from a college, and there's one that's graduated from Immokalee High School. That's probably all. If you know anyone else and they come here regularly, I mean like every service or every at least once a week, then we want to honor them, not someone that has visited, okay? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to follow along real closely with me. How many brought your Bibles? If you brought your Bible, wave it at me, please. Okay? So Homer's waving his hand. He's brought his Bible. And I believe that because he has got it in his heart. And boy, he studies it all the time. He doesn't study it to memorize it. He doesn't meditate it to memorize it. He just studies it to put it in his heart, and it does go in his heart, because you can see that. Hallelujah. We're going to speak to you tonight, or he's going to speak to you tonight, about cleansing the books. Cleansing the books. You'll see what that means a little bit later. So, hallelujah. We're gonna teach. We got started early, because Marty's got a trip in the morning, and we want to let him out early, and he's got a good helper going with him, though. I know Miss Gay's going with it. She'll help you out really well. So we got a lot of hard workers in this house, a lot of hard workers, and I really appreciate you guys. Hallelujah. So you work hard all day, and you come here and work together with me. How many? Let everybody say this. Pastor, we're going to work with you in this message. Hallelujah. All of you out there, say it with all of us. Pastor, we're going to work with you in this message. I am not tired. If I was tired, I got my strength renewed in that worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Glory. We're going to teach a little bit from Genesis to Revelation. So Ralph, lock the doors. Okay. Hallelujah. It was amazing to me when I listened the other day. I think I listened Tuesday to Gary Carpenter's latest Sunday morning message, and then he just said a Sunday night message. And the subject matter that was so close, we were back and forth texting, and later we said, wow, there was amazing some of the message. You know, the Sunday we were in a certain sense classifying sins, deadly sins, and then sins that were not, but we were talking about how that we should be well past the deadly sins. And if we were dealing with sins, it was not the killing ones. It was the ones where we should be maturing. And Gary did an awesome message. That message Sunday morning, and I recommend it to you. It's called Space to Repent. And it just is one of those complimentary messages to everything that we were teaching here Sunday, because it has a lot of extreme balance in it. He goes into the two pitfalls of being way over into the greasy grace message, and then also being way over into legalism. And Kenneth Hagin used to talk about that the body of Christ had a real ability to get in the ditches. And Gary talked about the greasy grace message, which we talked a lot about here, but then he also talked about the legalistic message. And he said both of them were equally wrong, equally. And they were both, the legalistic message was just as damaging as the greasy grace message. And I agree. I agree 100%. Dave used to talk about, he'd say, if he can ever find somebody sincere, real sincere, and they're against sin, and if he can't get them out in left field, he'll take him right into the right field as hard and as push him until everything's a sin and everybody's going to hell and you can't hardly breathe, or you can't say anything. I mean, you're just, everything's wrong. And so that's as bad. And in fact, in some ways that's worse. You can't live in a straitjacket. Hallelujah. But the righteousness of God is in our spirit to live righteous. Hallelujah. So it was a great message. But I say all that to say this. I had not heard his Sunday night message, and Candy had heard that today when she was walking, and she come in and she told me about it. I said, oh my God, I was like, don't tell me any more, because that's tonight's message. And I was like, really? I mean, and Gary, if you listen to this, I don't know, I'm sure maybe you will. I did not hear your Sunday night's message. And so the subject's the same. I don't know exactly what he said, but I'm sure it was good. I'm sure it was good. And I will listen to that. So we're looking forward to what the Lord has to say tonight. We're going to talk about ruling through your words, our words spoken, what words we speak, okay? Let me start out by saying this, and also I'll say the only thing that I can remember before he dropped on me this morning when I was praying to bring this out was, I do remember that Candy said that the ladies had been recently talking about the words of your mouth again in the prayer group. And I thought, that's really wonderful. And I didn't think about that this morning, but something stood out in my mind, something recent in our church, or something that I've been reading or hearing from Tulsa has been bringing that up. And so praise God for all of you ladies that pray at home, pray on Monday morning, or pray prior to the service. Hallelujah. Prayer makes a difference, people. It really does. And so oftentimes through the years, I've seen that the pulse of what God wants to say is right in that prayer group. And I praise God for it. Ruling through our words spoken. Let me say this starting tonight's message. The only scepter, you know what a scepter is? Everybody know what that is? The only scepter to the natural world is our words. The only scepter that we rule with in the natural world is our words. That's the only scepter. Now, you can think about your prayer to God. That's one thing. That's you and Him, worships you and Him. The Word is you being edified by His Word. Meditation of the Word, that's all between you. But if you're going to deal with anything with the world, I mean, if you're going to make an impact or change something, the only thing spiritually that you have to change that is not something that you do. You may have to go get in a car and go pray for somebody. That's doing it. But when it comes down to it, the scepter, what changes something, is your words spoken. It's what you say and what you believe according to the Word of God. I'll say this about myself. Maybe you can relate. I find that too much of me at times still wants to take dominion in the natural realm by some other means other than the power of my words spoken. Now, I'm at a lot of peace when I get up in the morning and I stand or pray or in my living room or whatever, and I'm ruling my future by speaking my words, speaking His words into the day, or whatever. Maybe it's not in the early in the morning. Maybe it's just speaking His words, commanding something to happen, to change. My spirit's at peace. When I get anxious, I can tell when I've switched over into the flesh. Now, you got to do stuff. I mean, in the natural, you got to do stuff. You got to make calls, and you got to see people, and you got to do this. But whenever me gets involved, I can tell when flesh, when the power of what is bringing things to pass goes from spiritual, I don't know if I could use this word or not, you'll know what I'm talking about, energy, spiritual force, from spiritual force to flesh force is when I start getting a little bit anxious, angry that it's not taking place as quickly as it should be. This needs to happen, and it needs to happen right now, or somebody's going to be in trouble, or blah, 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 or whatever. It's one thing to be adamant, and it's one thing to say, we got to get this done, but still, all ruling source of strength must come through the Spirit. And the way that it does is through the power of our words, the power of our words spoken. Let's go to, as I said, we're going to go from Genesis to Revelation. Not really. I mean, in a certain sense, yes, but not reading all that. We've got a lot of word to read. I hope you brought your Bible, like I said. Let's read in Genesis chapter 1. This is old stuff, but it's good stuff. Genesis chapter 1. Humanity is introduced to God in this way. This is how God introduces Himself. And this is some things we learn about God. I'll just read three verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. Now, if you go through this chapter, which we won't, you see continuation of creation. And every time anything is created or brought into effect, you always see the preceding words, and God said, and God said, and God said. I always liked what Gary Carpenter said years ago. The Lord said to him, the Holy Spirit will not perform for anyone, not even God the Father, until words are spoken. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit, and so in other words, we understand this, but it's good to say it again to each other to understand. Something wished is not something performed. Something hoped is not something performed. Something knowing it is the truth. It's God's word. It's the truth. That's not performed. It's when we as the agents of authority in the earth, there was no agent of authority then because humanity had not been created. This was a sovereign creation. But we see how God works from the very beginning. If you go through that chapter, and God said, and God said, and God said, and the one hovering, so you're able to differentiate, if you go through that and understand it, you understand by Colossians and by John chapter 1 that all things came from the second member of the Godhead, the Word. In other words, all the matter came from Him. But the speaking part came from the administration part of the Godhead, which is the Father. And the Holy Spirit was that hovering, creating, putting all of the everything together kinds of organization, making it happen, putting everything into effect. But the point being, God said, and before God said, nothing happened except the Holy Spirit was waiting for God the Father to speak. Hallelujah. So how much more for us is that important? We're going to go through, and as I said, a number of scriptures. We're going to go through a number of scriptures without, I can't take the time to take a contextual background, but we're just going to give the blatancy of the power of the word spoken. Is that fair enough? I'm telling you from the start. Usually we always talk about context, context, context. That is truth. But I'm telling you, we can't go into the context. What we can say is you'll see that no matter what the context was, it is true, it's absolutely true, that what we read, it proves that the words spoken have power and they're of a necessity. Okay, so that's fair enough. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, and we will look at verse 1, and then we will look at 4 through 12. This is the words of Jeremiah, Hilkiah, the son of Hilkiah. And then we're going to drop down. I just want you to see that these are his words being prophesied, God speaking to him. And let's look at verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. This is Jeremiah saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Everybody say speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my, everybody say, mouth. What did he touch? Jeremiah's mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build up and to plant. Does that sound like power? That sounds like dunamis power there. That sounds like power for revival, to speak something into existence. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And he said, I see a rod, okay, of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to what? Perform it. God will hasten. Other translations say God looks over or watches over his word to perform it. How many of you know that God wants to prove himself through his word? His word is one. He and his word is one. And God is one with his word, obviously. Proverbs 18. Let's go there. Proverbs 18. I like all these old scriptures that we've rehearsed before in the past because they're powerful. Look at verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, what? Love life, shall eat the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. If you love life or you want to see good all the days of your life, what you say with your mouth makes a major difference. Again, it's not what you wish for. It's not what you believe in your heart. It is part. That's part of it. But the other part of the connection is you speaking and saying God, it's not speaking and saying the right things. It's speaking and saying the God things. That's the highest order. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 6. How many of you love the word? I know you do. Let's look at verses 1 through 7. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, this is a vision that Isaiah is having in the temple, and the glory of the Lord comes in. He calls it the train. That's the exceeding fullness of God's glory that is just emanating around him in front and back. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one of them had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. It was so glorious that the building just shook. I'm believing that to happen here. I really am. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King of glory. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. What we see here is this, is when Isaiah saw the Lord, his first inclination was this, My words are stout against you. My words are my lips. The first thing that he realized was he was a man of unclean lips, that he'd been speaking things contrary to truth or contrary to who God is and what his righteousness was for Israel. The first thing that we see here that in God's response is God did what? He purged his lips. He put a coal of fire upon his lips to say, you're purged. What I'm about to give you, the vision I'm about to give you, I've remitted your sins. Now, he wasn't born again. We understand that from an Old Testament aspect. But I hope you get, can you see this? Can you see this? That one of the first things that Isaiah realized in the awesome, excessive, glory-filled train is that he had been speaking things contrary to God. I believe, not because I'm pointing at you, but because I'm being dealt with you, is that we have no idea, except through the Spirit, when he comes on us, how unclean our lips are. And I'm not talking about, it could be this, but I'm not talking about dirty jokes. And I'm not talking about malicious things, but I'm talking about people that are purged and people that are calling themselves going towards revival, still in a place of great necessity for change in the purging of what we say. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isaiah chapter 55. Let's look at that. You're in Isaiah. Just go over a number of chapters. Let's look at 55 and let's look at verse 11. You've read this. I hope you've stood on this many times in your life. The Lord said this to Isaiah, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Now, I believe that we believe that, but we don't believe it. I don't know. Maybe I don't want to incriminate you, but I'll just say this about me. I believe that as truth, but I don't practice it as truth. And there's two worlds. There's two major differences. If I believe that the word spoken, and we're going to get into New Testament. Well, this is majorly the New Old Testament here right now with a lot of valuable stuff. But I find as I'm more convicted of the Holy Spirit that there is so much of my life and so much of the world that I live in that should be being created by the power of His words. See, creation did not stop at the original creation. We are together to be creators with Him, taking His word, changing our world and changing other people's world through the word of God. Now, I don't believe, now I'm not saying this antagonistically or as an agnostic, my life has not been showing, I'm not going to confess this over me, but throughout my Christian life and even in serving you as a pastor, I have not believed that in its full extent, or else I know my life and very possibly us corporately would be further along if I lived in the fullness of that. If I lived in the fullness of knowing that if I continue to speak His word, it will not return into Him void. Pastor Dave, I remember an example that he gave. He said, you know, he went for many years down to Brazil, and he saw some incredibly notable miracles. And he said that there was two occasions that he saw the same kind of miracle where that a child's feet, that they were born with them reversed backwards. One, he had an incredible experience. He had a present tense laid on of hands, and the feet actually, he said he could feel those little feet turning, the ankles turning in his hands. That's awesome. Hallelujah. I want that. I'm going to see that. You're going to see that. The other one, he prayed for a child with the same kind of infirmity. He had to hand the child back to his father and say, if you'll speak to this child and you'll speak to his feet, and speak the word of God, and speak that Jesus is his healer, God will come and heal this child. It was a year or so later, I don't know the dates, that this man, Dave was back down there, this man brought his child, and he reminded him, he said, look at this, this is my child. And when Dave looked at him, his feet were perfectly aligned, perfectly normal. But here's the thing, he confessed to Dave in a very humble attitude and a very kind of repentful attitude, and he told Dave, he said, I'm basically, now this is not verbatim, but basically said, I'm sorry, it took me a whole year to turn my child's feet around. It took me a whole year of confessing daily to turn his feet around. And Dave was going, should I tell him that most Christians in America won't even begin to make that commitment to speaking His word? And he was somewhat repentant. I'm saying that about myself, is if we believe Isaiah chapter 55, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. And he goes on to say, this is the result. You'll go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. He's talking about how that we change things and bring a fertileness into the deserts of our life and to things that are less than. Amen. Ezekiel 37. I hope you're looking at these. Hallelujah. Ezekiel. Write them down if you for some reason can't get to them. Let's look at verses 1 through 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Everybody say bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. Now this was a vision, but this is an open vision. This is something that's just happening. This is not an inward, like I saw it in the inward part of my mind vision. This actually happened to Ezekiel. Behold, there were very many in that open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. We're in Ezekiel 37, verse 4. But when he said this to Ezekiel, he takes him out into this great, huge valley, and he's looking at this plain of possibly thousands of skeletons. There's no flesh on them, no sinew on them. And the Lord says, can these live? And your natural mind and my natural mind would be like, no way. But he had a good answer. The good answer was this. Rather than even contemplating it, it says, Lord, you know whether or not they can. That's a good answer. Good answer. That's a good answer, Ezekiel. That's kind of on the same plane as of Jesus saying, can you believe? And the man said, I can, but help my unbelief. You know, I'll do my best, but help my unbelief. And Ezekiel was saying, I'm going to put it back on you, okay? And he said, and he said unto me, prophesy. Again, verse 3. I'm going to read that again. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. Everybody say prophesied. Do you know when you stand, there is the prophecy that is like, that comes from prophets. Now this was one, and the Lord was telling him to prophesy. But in a certain sense, and I'm not talking about the gift of prophecy per se, but in a certain sense, when you stand up on a daily basis and you speak words of life based on the Word of God, the Word says, and then you say something that is very comparable to that, you're prophesying to the day. You're speaking life into the day. And your chances, I don't even like to use the word, but your chances of prosperity just went way up. Your chances of getting through the day without some kind of major catastrophe, or if it does come, or if that thing comes, that sent thing comes, it will not have the venom that it would have had you. Now, you can stand if you forget, okay, he's not forsaken you, but I'm telling you that as he prophesied, the Lord said, can these live? He said, I don't know, you know. He didn't say, I don't know. He said, you know. But then the Lord said, the Lord didn't say, okay, I want these to be resurrected. He said, Ezekiel, you say something to them. You prophesy to them. You put meat back on them. You put skin back on them. You put sinew back on them. You reinvigorate them with the day, and you cause the dry bones to live. Does that make sense? Do you see that? So I prophesied as I was commanded, verse 7. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, sinew and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain. that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet in an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This army, he said, was the house of the Lord, or the house of Israel. So you have to prophesy or speak. However, if prophesy is too big a word for you, that's okay. Then you have to speak into your day. Speak the future success of the kingdom on a daily basis. One more among many. This is not it, the end. Malachi. Turn to Malachi. Malachi. And chapter 2. And verse 17. We're still talking about words and what we speak and how God hears us as born-again believers. Verse 17 says, "You've wearied me, the Lord. You've wearied me, the Lord, with your words." He's identifying himself, who he is. This is the Lord speaking. "You've wearied me, the Lord, with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he that delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?" God said, now that really, I mean, this is amazing. This one here will kind of stump your toe a little bit. God said, now how many of you know he cannot be wearied? But he's expressing to us in human terms, the word weary here, I looked it up in the Hebrew, it means to be wore out. You basically have wore me out with your words. Now this was the how. This, you say, well, these are all Old Testament scriptures. Listen, this translates into the New Testament. New Testament saints have the same ability in their flesh to speak contrary to the Word of God. And the Lord said here, you've wearied me. You've wearied me. Instead of speaking my judgment, you've said, where is his judgment? Now, this is where I won't get too preachy here because I got a lot to teach. But when people start saying, why hasn't it happened? Why isn't it happening? It's almost like there's an accusation like, I've done all that I know to do. Wait a minute. How much have we, again, I'm not speaking down. I'm saying this is another part and partisan to our going on to revival. We create with our words. And we also don't know until, like Isaiah, we think we're good to go. Have you ever had his glory come? I know you have at times. Have you ever had his glory come on you where it's so loving, but at the same time, it's inspecting? It's a fearful place and it's a loving place. When Daddy, through the Holy Spirit, squeezes you and makes you feel so safe, I'm going to talk to you here, but I want you to know I love you to pieces. I gave my son for you. You're my daughter. You're my son. Now you just think you're doing great, don't you? Yes, sir. I am doing great. I'm just doing so good. Can I just open up your world a little bit? And then you start saying, oh, and then he has to come back and say, you're saved? You're saved? You're saved? Because we're like, oh, my God, I forgot I said that. I forgot I did that. I forgot I did that. I forgot I did that. Okay. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43. Hallelujah. Everybody still with me? I believe you are. Hallelujah. You're such a good bunch. 43. I don't know where to start here other than verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Everybody say amen to that. and through the rivers they shall not, look at these promises, they'll not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, Seba for thee. Let me see how far I want to. Yeah, I just need to keep reading here, I guess. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Look what the Lord says. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. This is the Lord's prophesying to the different ends of the. Why don't you say with me, I say that all that should come from the north and all that should come from the south and all that should come from the east and all that should come from the west, we say in Jesus' name, give up, come forth, sons and daughters of God, be born in the kingdom in Jesus' name. And he says here, he says, give up to the south, keep not back. In verse 7, it says, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I formed thee, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth, look at this, let them bring forth their witness that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there is no, was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. That's good enough for the time being there. But what, look what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, the Lord said to him, you people are my witnesses. Hallelujah. We say it, we confirm it. You know what this is saying? Even God likes an amen. Even God likes a witness to say, you're my witnesses. I'm saying this is truth. You're to witness it and say, amen. We are your witnesses, Father, that this is truth. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. I like that. God expects results from his word. The power of confession is not, listen, here's the thing about the power of confession. We're going to go to some New Testament. The power of confession is not reactionary. It's deliberate. In other words, you'll never change anything by the simple part of having something to reply to to a question. That's good. You should have a good reply. We'll say something about that in a moment. That's not the power of creation. You remember when we went through shield and sword in Ephesians chapter 6? Shield is a reactionary in a good sense. It's what Jesus said to Satan in the wilderness. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's the shield. The sword of the Spirit is, the shield is defensive. The sword is offensive. The sword creates. The sword is the word coming out of our mouth, creating the world, creating, recreating what has been damaged. This garden has been damaged. Our bodies have been threatened. All kinds of things have come against us. Listen, we have the power. I don't know what your testimony is. Every single one of you who have ever walked through something could stand up here and give a testimony. But the testimony is this. I know that you would include, if there was a real change from God, that you spoke the word until you saw results. Time alone doesn't change things. Time alone will just make things worse, or you'll still have the same ailment. if I just thought for just a couple moments, I was born with flat feet. That's what I was born with. The pronation that takes place in the ankles usually destroys people's backs and hips, and mine were mine was severe. Now, I did some things in the natural that would help, like getting different things, inserts, and the best shoes, and those kinds of. I remember one time that I was going through something so bad that I went to a podiatrist, and that at the end of your big toe, just underneath it, you have what they call a post-tibula tendon. And if that tendon is ever severed, you can't even walk. You just can't, I mean, you just can't even function, much less try to exercise or whatever. I remember that I was there, and I thought, I'm going in there to get to see if I can just get some kind of help, because natural things, you know, can help you, and get an insert, maybe help my arches and stuff like that. And he examined me, and he looked at it, and he goes, I said, because I was having a hard time, I said, when do you think I can start running again? And he was like, he goes, you'll never run again. You just need to, you know, erase that. Forget that. Don't ever think about that again. That's been years ago, and I've run like 50,000 5Ks since then. That's an exaggeration. And tons of miles. Just the other day, something happened, and I was like, oh, God. I mean, the symptoms were, that's what they were, symptoms. And Candy was watching me try to get through the house. And I don't like that, because I don't like anything to interrupt me being able to go and run or do or whatever. And I knew what the symptoms were. I knew that. But I said, let's agree. And she prayed for me. And I began to speak to that thing. And here's the thing. I have for years, I'll have conversations. And I think that you do. I hope you do, because we've tried to teach you that. Have just in with certain parts of your body. I'll just have it. Now, you feet, I'm telling you, you have arches. You have perfect arches. Perfect arches. I remember when I was lifting, I won't go into that whole story, but that pectoralis major tendon that connects to your deltoid muscle, that didn't tear. It completely severed. It just completely just broke apart. There was totally separation. They told me, you'll need surgery. You gotta need surgery. I prayed about it. I could have. Surgery was okay. But I just believed I could have walked it out. And I just believed if I kept confessing. Do you know, I don't have a bit of problem with that today. I didn't have surgery. Surgeries are okay if they need surgery. I just kept confessing. It healed, and I can just lift all kinds of weight, and it never bothers me. There's been times I just know with my shoulders. There's been times that if I went, there's been times where on both shoulders, right and left, that I could not, since then, and it didn't have anything to do with this, I know that I could not lift my arm. And I know if I'd have went to the doctor, they'd have told me, you have a torn rotator cuff. I know they would have. I know that. I just kept confessing the word, kept believing, and it just goes away. It just goes away. But you've got to believe that it will go away. And it's okay to go to a doctor. It's okay, but don't let the doctor define you. Be the one to tell you how you're doing, okay? We'll have some more saying that in just a moment. So many different things. You got some testimony. What? That's exactly right. You can find out what it is so you can speak over it. That's perfect. That's exactly right. So I knew what was, that's a good point, case in point. You know what to speak over. I was having some kind of attack. This is about 10 years ago, it was so bad that I finally said, forget it. I can't take it any longer. Let's go to the hospital. I went to the hospital. They examined me. They said, and I did, I had broke a fast wrong and blah, blah, blah. And they said, they did the sonogram or whatever. They said, you got gallstones in there. And so usually it's in there, it usually, you kind of have to live a real pampered life after that. I did the homeopathic stuff. I believe in that stuff. That's good. But then I began to speak. and speak and speak. And I've never had an attack since. Hallelujah. Praise God. Speaking the word works. It works. Hallelujah. And we got to speak this revival into existence. How many of you say yes? Hallelujah. Mark 11. Let's go to the New Testament. Mark 11. I'm not going to break down all those epos and legos, but we've done that before. Actually, those of you that are watching, we in this portion of Scripture that we're about to read, the word say or saith is two separate words. It's the word lego and the word epo, and one means to just say it. And one means to just say it as to put it into discourse. I mean, you expect something to be happening. Now, we're not going to break all that down again. I'm just telling you that that's in here. But Jesus said this in chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering and saith unto them, have faith in God. For truly or verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which, and somebody say, well, you got to believe it from the heart. You will not fully from the beginning. If you have to fully believe it from the beginning to ever say it, you'll never start. I've never ever fully believed at the beginning what I matured into, but I stayed in the Word, I stayed in prayer, and I stayed in confession until I saw the results. Okay. That's why the Holy Spirit told Gary years ago to change this, turn it around. You got to do 4 hours a day. You got to confess 4 hours a day concerning your finances. Well, if Gary would have totally believed it 100%, it would have taken one confession on one day, and that would have been ill. But you don't believe it totally when you start. That's why you have to continue to confess it and continue to read the Word and continue to meditate and continue to pray. Hallelujah. Therefore, verse 24, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, and this is very important, but this is not where we're at, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not, now this has something to do with your confession, but this is not the topic tonight. If you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's a whole nother subject. That's not where we're at tonight. And of course, we could go into James chapter 3. That's all about your word, the words and speaking. And of course, the bigger picture is teachers that have the power to speak and turn the whole body with their tongue. But the whole, as I said before, the blatancy of the proof is this: our words have power. And when we speak, we can see things set into course by the power of God. Now, we're not going to go into James, and I'm not going to try to just open that up without, I just want to give reference to it, James chapter 3. The book of Revelation, I said we're going to go to the book of Revelation. Did I not? I keep my promises. Okay. The book of Revelation, let's go to chapter 20, and let's look at verses 20, let's look at verse 10. And the devil, everybody say the devil. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Are you glad? I am. And brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And forever. Okay. Sandlock. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, plural. Everybody say books. The books were opened. So is it understandable? And of course it is. that there are books, plural, in heaven, okay? And the books were opened, and another book. So it's distinguishing this other book from the pre-said books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, you want your name there. You definitely, at that point in time, you want to be recorded in the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. So it's kind of all inclusive according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, distinguished that book, was cast into the lake of fire. Okay? So there are books and there is the book of life. And the book of life is where your name is written, where my name is written. Now, we can't even begin to fathom or understand how that one, there could be just one book. This is in the spirit realm. All things are possible. All things are possible with God. I would think that that book would have to be 50 miles thick with names in it. But I don't know how that works. Maybe it's in computer chip form. I don't know. But it's a book, okay? And there's a book there, and my name is in there, and your name is in there, and I'm glad it's in there. But there are books. There's also books there, and these books are records of the works. It appears from what I'm reading here, the works of men. And then it goes on to define that out of these books also that those that will also be cast, if their name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, that book, they'll be cast into hell. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and let's look at verse 10. Now, no, that is not right. 12, verse 34, way on down. And we're not going to go into, this is way too deep, a subject concerning the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's just that the religious order was fashioning things that they knew were of God to Satan, and their words were stout, saying, "This is the devil," and they knew it was God. They knew it. And Jesus begins to speak to them concerning these things, but he includes a whole lot more than that. In verse 34, it says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word," everybody say idle word, "every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be," what? "Condemned." If every word and every idle words here, and I love the way that Dave used to define this. If you go back in context, we got to talk context here a moment. The context where they were speaking against the Holy Ghost, okay? And they were saying, Jesus, you know, he was casting out a devil. They said, "This, you've done this by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And then Jesus gave them this incredible, he says, "Look, you're in danger. You're in danger of hellfire because you're contributing something that is God. Your words are saying, this is Satan, and you know it's God. You know this is the finger of God, the Holy Spirit," okay? But then he goes on to say, every idle word, idle words here, if you look it up, also it defines it in the Greek as well, are things spoken contrary to truth or God or whatever, however it would define that. I looked it up again today. I can't remember exactly how it said it. But Dave would say, idle words are not you having fun or, you know, telling a clean joke or talking about football or somebody. If a real religious mind is like, let's just talk spiritual things all the time and anything else is idle words. That's not, idle words were something contrary to truth. If you say something that over here and it contradicts truth, those are idle words. Those are the words he says that every man will be held accountable for when we get to heaven. Now, where do you think that those words might be recorded at? In the books. Terry said, in the books. You know, that's one where you don't have a verse, although we do, because if you go back to where we were at in Revelation, it said all the works will be accounted in these books. Words are works. I mean, what you said idly at any given time is, in that sense, the word is a work. So every idle word is being recorded. So let's look at the books of heaven. Our words are important. And we have to ask ourselves, and I'm not trying to be overly sober here. I don't want us to get legalistic where you can't talk. But the thing of it is on the way to revival and on the way of creating your world in health and in life and in peace and in creating the revival that we're asking God and believing God, which is the kingdom of God in reality, we have to ask ourselves this. How many idle words I did today, how many idle words that I have spoken are on the books? Are on the books, present tense. That's why, let's read this. I know you know it and I can quote it, but let's read 1 John 1. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Listen, sin is not just doing immoral things. If you know to do good and you don't do it, the word said it's a sin unto you. If you know the truth and you speak contrary to the truth, that's in a book, okay? The blood of Jesus not only cleanses us, here's what I'm excited about for myself, the blood of Jesus not only cleanses us from any sin, thank God I don't have immoral sins in my life, it'll cleanse immoral sins, it'll cleanse any sin, and it'll cleanse your words too. It will cleanse words spoken contrary to the truth. And we oftentimes, I believe, are like Isaiah, Lord, I thought I was doing good until I got in your presence, and then I realized my words have not been as truthful to your word. It is sometimes necessary for us to cleanse the books. Cleansing is in regards to anything spoken contrary to God's word concerning His truth in my life. And I wrote this down. I didn't do this to say this would be good to way to teach this tonight. I did this and then later thought, wow, what? And it just came out of me. I jumped in my truck, put some water jugs in there, and went over to the water filling station today. I was driving into Winn-Dixie parking lot, and I went around the back, and man, it just started coming out of me, and I began to say these things, and when I got home, I wrote them down. I said, Lord, I don't know how many words, my words, are recorded in heaven that are contrary to everything that I'm taking a stand for in the earth, but anything that is recorded that stands contrary to the truth and what I'm striving to see accomplished in the earth according to your will, I repent for. And I ask that these words be erased and cleansed from your books, and that only life-filled words be recorded in regards to my life and confession. Hallelujah. John 6, you don't have to turn there, 663 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Jesus said this, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Revelation 19:15 says this, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's word spoken. When he comes back, he's going to speak his word, and it's going to settle all things. He shall smite the nations. He shall rule over them with a rod of iron. And he that treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of the Almighty God. So he speaks the word when he comes back. We don't know how often we speak these idle words that are contrary to his words of life. Get right out here. Look into the camera. You're wonderful people. Mixture won't bring it to pass. Okay? Mixture, like having a good intent and then yet it'll bring it to pass partially. You're here because you've already graduated a long ways. But to get us over the hump, mixture, we don't know how often we speak these words that are contrary to our other words of life. In other words, you may be speaking words of life, but what else is being spoken? Mixture will not bring it to pass. Words like, and I'm not saying this is any of you, but it could be, because it's been me before. Words like, I'm sick. I'm just worn out. I don't know when this will ever happen. Are you getting this? These are words contrary. I don't know when this will ever happen. This just is not working for me. I'm confused. I'm continually hurting. I'm always in pain. I don't know what to do. I'm depressed. I'm offended. I'm afraid. I'm broke financially. I don't have enough to accomplish. Now, please listen to this part, and I'm not going after anybody. This is just, he came on me today. If you think that words don't matter as much as this message would present them to be, then there is a level of deception that is being revealed, even present tense, to your heart. Every report contrary to his word is a lie against the truth. It is a lie. It is not a lie against the facts. It is a lie against the truth. Too many Christians believe that when they speak the facts, they are speaking the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. Repeating the fact will never change anything. Only speaking the truth, which is God's word, will change facts to truth. Now, here's an example. If it becomes necessary, in your estimation, to see a doctor, don't argue with him on the diagnosis of what he says are facts. He did not come to you. You went to him. His facts are not to become your confession. This is what I have. This is what's wrong with me, etc., etc. Facts are useful only, thank you, Sherry, to apply the truth specifically to the symptom. Everything is a symptom. Everything, finances, emotions, everything is to be understood as a symptom. To say that this is what I have is to say I receive this. Rather say, this is a lying symptom coming against my body, but the truth is such and such. Alan Taylor said this, because you know Alan went through that thing and still going through it, and he's got people working with him, and he's making some major improvements. He's doing everything like a champion. I mean, he's a champion in my eyes. He's speaking the word, he's going into God, and he's using the natural, you know, things that need to be doing. He's stimulating for those of you that don't know who I'm talking about, Alan Taylor, he's a minister friend of mine, ministers at the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa, and he had a stroke a number of years ago, and he's just coming out of that, and he's doing really, really well. But he has these therapists. He said this. Now, he's went through a number of different ones, one or two, and he said what he's found out is this. It's okay if they tell him the fact. That's okay. But if they, he says, look, the doctors or the therapist that will, they don't have to agree with him as far as where he's going, as far as like make the confession with him. But any of them that begin to tell him, you're not going to, this is not going to improve and you're not coming out of it, he says, I'll fire them. See, they work for me. Okay. You can choose. Now, don't fight with them because you went to them. Use what their diagnosis is to change. But if they just adamantly say, no, you're never going to change out of that, well, then you find somebody else. There's plenty of them out there. They need jobs too, okay, just like anybody else. Hallelujah. So here's a ready reference as we close. Number one, watch your words. You can write this one down. This is a good one. We won't turn there. Psalms 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Keep the doors of my lips. If we were to allow the Holy Spirit to put a watch on our mouth, like say, Lord, every time that I say this, would you bring it? Ooh. Do you see this has power? The words of our mouth have power. If you think, oh, no, it's just, you're just making a little bit too much of that. There's something inside of you that the enemy has colored. He's shaded in something that's going to have a big effect on your life. Cleanse the books if you need to. And times, it's just good to say, Lord, if there's anything up there, I'm saying this. I'm calling my body healed. But listen, if there's anything, JKCs. Everybody say JKCs. JKCs matter. Everybody say JKCs matter. What are you talking about? Just kidding counts. Well, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm falling apart like a cheap watch. Just kidding. No, just kidding counts. It counts. See, our words have power. If I'm expecting prosperity in my life, I'm speaking to that mountain. I'm speaking to my body. And then I'm going to go over here and kid with you. I don't know. It's just, man, I'm just falling apart like a cheap watch. Hallelujah. Glory. Why did it get so quiet? JKC's work, I mean, just they count. Cleanse the books. Script also, I would say this. This has helped me. Script your responses. If you're walking through something and people ask you, how are you doing? Already think that thing through. Don't just say, I can't talk about that. Communicate. We're not zombies. Communicate, but already know what you're going to say. Already have something. I'm in a fight. That thing's standing there. It's a fight. It's a symptom. But here's what the word says. Script it out. Don't be caught unaware and then you walk away, because a lot of times I've walked away and said, man, that was so dumb what I just said. I just said something so stupid, Lord forgive me, that had nothing to do with faith. Hallelujah. Okay? Divorce yourself from friends. What? Pastor? Any friends or any people in your life that are down talkers and people that just, they say, well, I just speak reality. I'd speak facts. I just speak things the way they are. That's not faith people. We are people that speak the end result. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:9, cleanse. At times, we have to cleanse the books. Hallelujah. There may be things. There may not be things. But I know in my life, I want every word in heaven that is being recorded to be working perfectly in order with what I'm saying on a continual basis. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you. Amen. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory. We thank you that we have hit on something that Satan does not like us to hit on. He hates this message because in this message there is truth to change. Truth to change our world and the world that you've given us. Father, we love you. We thank you for your saints. We speak your blessings over them. We speak your blessings over this household and to those that are listening tonight. May the power of the Word of God sink down deep, strong into our hearts. We bless you. We give you praise. We give you power, thanksgiving, and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We will see you Sunday.